ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः अस्पर्शयोगो नामैषः नामैषः दुर्दर्श सर्वयोगिभिः योगिनो बिभ्यति ह्यस्मात् अभये भयदर्शिनः अस्पर्शयोगो नामैषः दुर्दर्श सर्वयोगिभिः योगिनो बिभ्यति ह्यस्मात् अभये भयदर्शिनः भगवत्पूज्यपादाश्च शुष्कतर्कपटो नमोन् आहुर्माध्यमिकान् भ्रान्तान् अचिन्त्येऽस्मिन् सदात्मनि अनादृत्यश्रुतिम् मौर्ख्यात् इमे बौद्धास् तमस्विनः आपेदिरे निरात्मत्वम् अनुमानैकचक्षुषः शून्यमासीदिति ब्रूषे सद्योगं वा सदात्मताम् शून्यस्य न तु तद्युक्तम् उभयं व्याहतत्वतः All these verses, until this verse, they come together. So I just read them all together. Okay. So before we go to the Shunyavada, and here the, where we saw, I think last class 28th verse. Gaudacharya Nirvikalpe. Gaudacharya Nirvikalpe. समाधावन्ययोगिनाम् साकारब्रह्मनिष्ठानाम् अत्यन्तम् भयमोचिरे सो इन् दिस् 28th वर्स् विद्यारण्यस्वामी कोट्स् mentions Gaudapada Acharya's vision. You know, Gaudapada Acharya is a great grand guru, you know, of Adishankaracharya. Govindapada Acharya was his guru. And Gaudapada Acharya is a guru of Govindapada Acharya. So, grand guru, isn't it? It's not straight direct guru, Parama Guru. So, Paraguru, Guruhu, Parama Guruhu, Paratpara Guruhu is a great guru. And he quotes, which means in Gaudapada Acharya's Karikas, Karika means the commentary written in poetry form upon the 12 mantras of Mandukya Upanishad. Mandukya Upanishad only is 12 mantras. But Gaudapada Acharya's this commentary goes for 3 chapters, 700 and odd verses. So there he makes it very clear. See, people, he mentions how as there is the fear is inevitable, that sense of fear, a sense of insecurity centered on I will remain unresolved as long as there is duality. However devoted you are, however religious you are, worshipful you are, prayerful you are, as long as there is no duality, I am different from the Lord, Lord is different from me. So the worshipper worship difference is there, which means there's division, there's a duality, isn't it? As long as one sees oneself being separate from, so one doesn't see the non-separate between the Lord and the oneself, as long as one sees oneself isolated from the Lord, the whole, there is division. As long as there is division, as long as there is duality between the worship and the worshipped, division is there, so long will there be fear. It's impossible to resolve the phenomenon called fear for good. Impossible. That he makes it very clear. Which means, ultimately he wants to, in this Panchabhuta Viveka Prakranam, even though he is going to analyze the analysis of the elements itself is discussed, you say there are no elements. They're all, no, I ultimately to arrive and establish every chapter, the topics are different, subject matter percentage is different, but ultimately what is established is the vision of non-duality of the reality. All that is, there is only the reality, the impaired by the term Brahman. The whole universe is what? Only Brahma. Isn't it? We have to resolve this knower known division, knower known duality, and it has to be resolved in the truth. Or aham idam reality. I, this. Whatever we refer to as I, you know, as subject of the knowledge, and that I, nothing but the reality. And this, the object of knowledge, indicating this, implying this world, everything which is indicated by this word idam in this universe, everything, the truth of both I and this is what actually one and the same. The standpoint of the reality, I, this division is not there. Aham idam, difference is not there. So I, this is difference is not there. All that is as only one truth. So here in resolving this, you understand the mithyatvam of the ahankara, mithyatvam of the jagat also. So that means, you say mithya means what? Aham also is not there, jagat also is not there. It is as well as non-existent. What is, there's only one truth. So as long as duality is there, fear is inevitable. How, doesn't matter however religious, worshipful, prayerful a person is. So duality is fraught with the fear. In divisions there is fear. That does not mean the divisions are not negated as tuchyam. Divisions and differences are not negated as tuchyam, but they negated as mithya. And then mithyatvam, mithya can be understood as mithya, only satyam is doubtlessly clear. what is absolutely real must be absolutely clear, isn't it? So that through the Shravanam, one can arrive at the reality as the truth of I, and thereby one can see the truth of this also being the same, on the same, and thereby one can arrive at the non-duality of the reality. And then one has to really see clearly there's no I, there's no this other than the reality. What is there as this universe? What is there as I in every, you know, every mind is actually speaking one and the only reality. There's a things. So these divisions are all only seeming divisions. If it becomes very clear, there's no way of resolving the fear. Fear will be there. Certain degree of fear will always be there. Therefore, what he says, Sakara Brahmanishtanam Atyantam Bhayam Uchire. Okay, Uchire means he had already mentioned, but Garupacharya said, come on, as long as you see Bhagavan, something other than yourself, the people who see the Lord as something other than oneself, one isolates oneself from the whole, the Lord, and for such people, definitely what now? They are Sakara Brahmanishtaha. Sakara Brahmanishtaha means people who are given to the worship of the Lord, seeing the Lord as something separate from oneself, different from oneself, other than oneself. And such people are called Sakara Brahma means Sagunam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma means those who see the Lord as the whole, which means as long as you see the Lord as Sagunam Brahma, you see yourself being separate from the Lord also. Isn't it? So such people, Sakara Brahma Nishtaha, Nishtanam Atyantam Vayamuchire. For them, fear is something inevitable. Which means their being religious and being worship, their worshipfulness, their prayerfulness, all those things, you know, will definitely not help them resolve the fear. Because worship is a karma. Prayer is a karma. And you do anything as a unit of part of this act of worshipping and praying also about any karma. So karma is only an action. How can the problem caused by ignorance will be resolved? Fear is a phenomenon which is there caused by the sense of smallness, the sense of the time, sense of the time limitation, centered on I. So as long as fear, because caused by ignorance of the self, the fear is one of the expressions of the wrong perception of the self. Fear is any undesirable, unpleasant emotion is actually expression of the wrong notion one has about oneself and caused by ignorance. Therefore, how can the problem ultimately caused by ignorance be resolved by any other action? Whatever you do, worship is an action. In worshipping, as part of a unit of the act of worshipping, whatever you do also, only action. How can karma help you resolve the fear, which is an expression of the smallness centered on I, caused by ignorance? So ignorance caused problem can be sorted out, resolved only by knowledge. So action cannot resolve. Therefore, he makes it very clear, Sakara Brahmanishtanam Atyantam Bhayam Uchire. So for those people who are given to this, you know, given to the worship of Sagunam Brahma, or even who meditate upon Sagunam Brahma, even if people are given to the practice of meditation also, whatever the Saguna Brahma Upasana involves threefold activities. Whether they are given to the Kayikam Karma, Vachikam Karma or Manasam Karma. You know, whether physical activity, oral activity or mental activity in terms of Upasana meditation. Whatever it is, whatever type of activity you associate, involve yourself in for the sake of worshipping or praying to the Lord. But there is division is there. you see yourself, you know, isolated from the Lord. And the Lord is different from you. And therefore, definitely fear is something inevitable, unavoidable. What he said, Sakara Brahmanishtanam Atyantam Bhayam Uchire. Gaudapada Acharya has clearly mentioned it. We don't need to go for analyzing it. Is there a fear? How can a person who is worshipping the Lord, praying to the Lord, you know, still be given to the fear? You know, you feel better when you pray. They can help you manage the fear. See, prayer and worship will help you manage the fear. That's why it is useful. It is not useless action. Prayer and worship is not useless. Definitely it helps you manage the fear, but will not help you resolve the fear for good. That is very, very important, okay? Prayer and help worship will help you manage the fear. Without prayer and help worship, you'll go mad, okay? Fear will eat you up. And you can manage the fear as long as you're prayerful and worshipful. But you can resolve the fear for good only in knowledge. Which knowledge? Knowledge of the non-duality of the reality, in the light of which you see yourself being non-separate from the whole. And you see Lord being non-separate from you. You do not isolate yourself from the whole. As long as there's isolation, there will be fear. As long as separation, there will be fear. Isn't it? So knowledge is important. So therefore, we may have all these doubts may come for us, isn't it? No, why should we not? We should analyze on ourselves. No, we must not waste our time analyzing, because Gaudapada Acharya is much greater thinker, greatest man of the vision, and Acharya has thoroughly analyzed and he has already established that as there will be fear inevitable for those people who are given to the meditation made upon the Lord, Saguna Brahma, given to Saguna Brahma meditation worship. And he says, and also, Nirvikalpe Samadhav Anya Yoginam. Even people, even if they say, by practicing Saguna Brahma Upasanam, ultimately what can be accomplished through meditation upon the Lord. You know, by meditating upon the Lord, say Saguna Brahma Upasanam, by meditating upon the Lord, Saguna Brahma, what is the ultimate thing one can achieve? That is, Nirvikalpa Samadhi. So even people, Nirvikalpa Samadhi is not the vision of the non-duality of the reality. It is a non-dual experience. We are given to know, in whenever people have non-dual experience, like in sleep. In sleep also there is a non-dual experience. For you, there is neither you nor the world. There is no division in sleep. Every day in sleep you have non-dual experience. Isn't it? Is there duality in sleep? When you fall asleep, there's no duality. What duality? No one known duality, division is not there in deep sleep state. Once you wake up from sleep, you can say, talk about it, that's a different thing. But when you are in sleep, every day you have, there is non-dual experience. The no one known duality, division is not there. So whenever there's non-dual experience, whenever there is non-dual experience, there is some sukham. There is some temporary pleasure is there. Therefore, non-dual experience in samadhi is exactly like how you are in sleep. Only thing is, you are consciously asleep. In sleep, you are not conscious of yourself. Whereas in samadhi, you will be conscious of yourself, but you do not still... In Nirvikalpa Samadhi also, you are, the non-dual experience is possible, but ignorance is still there. Still, the I-sense cannot be resolved in non-dual, in Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Isn't it? Because ignorance is there. Ignorance of yourself continues to be there. You are there not knowing you are Nirvikalpa Samadhi. You are knowing you are, But in Nirvikalpa Samadhi also, you are not knowing what you are. In sleep, you are not knowing you are not knowing you are. Only difference. Isn't it? Therefore, Nirvikalpa Samadhi is also, you have only the non-dual experience. Non-dual experience should not be mistaken for the vision of non-duality of the reality. That is different. Therefore, non-dual experience is only time-bound pleasure. Because experience is time-bound. Even the non-dual experience also what? Experience of non-dual experience, Advaita Anubhavaha, stays there for certain some period of time. It's a time or a state of mind. And it will change. Then once you wake up, again it goes. So once you come out of Samadhi, again duality comes. So such people who are given to this practice of meditation and who are given to this Nirvikalpa Samadhi practice, and also who are given to this meditation upon the Lord as Saguna Brahma, as the one with the attributes, and see themselves being isolated, separate from the Lord, and such people, however religious, however great accomplishes by their meditations, still for them fear can only be managed, but fear cannot be resolved for good. And this has been thoroughly said by Gaudapada Acharya. Why he is quoting Gaudapada Acharya? Which means you should not question back, okay? Mm-hmm. Gaudapada Acharya has said means you don't need to waste your time. Oh, he has said that, let me, that is true. Which means it's, you understand the limitation of Saguna Brahma Upasana. That is why even in Mandukya Upanishad is not taught to people who are not prepared, qualified. Otherwise they'll become atheists. Because he negates Ishvara. Where is Ishvara? Gaudapada Acharya will ask like this. Where is God? Where is Ishvara? There's no Ishvara. There's neither Jiva, neither Ishvara. There's only Brahma, he'll say. But people will not understand there's only Brahma, that they will not listen. They'll say, what? There's no God. Fantastic. They'll say, what? There's no Lord. So he sounds like an atheist. He's not an atheist. Atheist means there nothing is there for them, isn't it? Therefore, that is why people who are not mature enough are not taught Mandukya Upanishad. Very dangerous. The only truth, there's no God. He'll say that. Gaudapada Acharya will say that. Mandukya should not be taught to some beginners come, no? They won't let listen to Mandukya Upanishad. Because when they come and sit and listen here, first class they come and sit here, they understand there's no God. There's no Ishvara. Ishvara is negated. That is why even some people here, even I heard this St. John's School of Philosophy, people here, they all don't want Ishvara. I don't know about other people. No Ishvara here. What happens? But Ishvara should be understood. Ishvara is a concept to be understood. You should not sin totally. You have to validate. Anyway, what I want to say here is Ishvara is negated. There's only truth. Ishvara is a temporary qualification attributed to the reality from the standpoint of the universe. When you look at reality as the cause of the universe. So Jiva is also, there's no Jiva either. Other than the truth. There's neither wave nor ocean, there's only water. Isn't it? That's how he says. And then this is a fact, and if this negation of Ishvara and Jiva through the vision of the reality, obtaining as one's own self, and constantly dwelling upon the truth and seeing the fact of the oneness of the reality or the non-duality of the reality, and reveling in the vision of that non-duality of the reality is what? Actually, utter fearlessness. you really see what the truth is. Only in the vision of that non-duality, the reality, you understand what is death, what is birth, what are the changes. All the subtle facts become very clear in the light of the doubtless, doubt-free, clear vision of non-duality of the reality. Then all this, the fear all will resolve. Otherwise, there'll be fear. Isn't it? Suppose I always give the example. If there's light, bright light, even if this room is filled with, cluttered with lots of things, still you can, if there's, you know where to put your foot, how to walk without damaging, without falling, without stumbling upon objects. Because things fall in their place. And you can walk comfortably, isn't it? Things, room is cluttered. But still you can avoid it, the accidents. The same way here, in the life will be full of problems. There will be a lot of changes happening. There will be birth, there will be death, there will be loss, there will be gain. There's so many things will be happening. But if you are blessed with the vision of the non-duality of the reality, in the light of the vision of the non-duality of the reality, obtaining as one's own self, having resolved one's identity, in the light of the vision of the truth, you can, all the subtle facts become very clear. What is death? What is birth? Isn't it? How things are inevitable, how things are unchangeable, what can be changed, what cannot be changed. All these things will become very, very clear. Then, there won't be fear. Fear will resolve for good. Therefore, he says, made very clear, ultimately, vision of non-duality of reality, is the only abhayam. Jnanam abhayam. Isn't it? Fearlessness. And he said, now he continues there. Asparsha yogo namaishaha. Asparsha yogo namaishaha. Durdarsha sarvayogi bihi.
Durdarsha sarvayogi bihi.
Yogino vibhyate hyasmat.
Yogino vibhyate hyasmat.
Abhaye bhayadarshinah.
Abhaye bhayadarshinah.
So here he literally shifted the verse from Mandukya Karika here. Asparsha yogaha means, asparsha here means the atma. Asparsha yoga means what? No, atma jnana, self knowledge, or you can say knowledge of the truth is called asparsha yoga. Why the reality implied by the term atma is what? No, is also known by another word, asparshaha. So knowledge of this reality, asparsha yoga inama, durdarshaha, very difficult to accept, because why atma is called asparsha, let me tell you. Atma is not touched, tainted by anything. Atma is free from all forms of blemishes and impurities and happenings and situations and pairs of opposites, everything. Why atma is free from everything, all forms of blemishes and pairs of opposites, punya, papa, etc. Atma is untouched by anything means what? Atma is untouched, the first asparsha. Because atma is the very truth of everything. What you call as punyam, there's no such thing called punyam which is without the atma. Atma is the reality implied by the term atma is the very truth of the punyam, very truth of papam, very truth of right action, any action. The atma is the truth of the action. Atma is the truth of the very performer of the action. Atma is the very truth of the performance of action. Atma is the very truth of the performed action. Atma is the truth of the result of the action. So the performer of action, performance of action, performed action, and result of the action, for everything, the truth is one and the only reality, which is impelled by the word Atma. So Atma happens to be the truth of the result of action also. So Atma is the truth of all punyam and papam, all forms of pairs of opposites. Atma, the reality, impervitam Atma alone is there as the truth of all forms of pairs of opposites, which are the results of actions, pain, pleasure, loss, gain, anger, everything, all the emotions, all the thoughts. Therefore, Atma being the truth of all the emotions, all the pairs of opposites, Atma is untouched, untainted by anything. Like what? I'll give you an example. Water being the truth of every wave, water is not touched, tainted, affected, afflicted by the form wave. Okay? Are the running of the wave or staying in the, isn't it?
Yes.
So, whatever, nothing, water is untouched by the water wave. A staying wave, remaining wave, or the running wave, whatever it is. Whatever the wave is doing, that is, does not touch the water. Why? Because water is the very truth of everything of the wave. Can wave touch the water? Touching means water. In no way, wave cannot affect, afflict, or touch or harm the water in any way, because the truth of the wave, which is existence of the wave itself, is water. Similarly, here the reality, absolute reality, the ultimate truth, impaired with the term Atma alone, is that the truth of the performer of action. There is no performer of action other than the Atma. There is no performance of action without the Atma. There is no performed action without the Atma. There is no result of action without the Atma. There is no result of action. There is no law which other than the Atma which determines the result of action. The result of action obtaining from punya papam is not there without the Atma. So all punya papam in the form of what? All forms of pairs of opposites also what? Atma. Therefore, how can Atma be touched by anything? So, Atma is absolutely free from all forms of punya papams. All the results of the translations of punya papams, obtaining form of pain, pleasure, etc., all pairs of opposite, because Atma is the truth of everything. All these things happen. Therefore, Atma is impelled by the word Asparshaha. Asparshaha means that which is not subject to any form of affliction. That which is not subject, not touched by anything. That which is free from all everything here. All parts of opposites, impurities, blemishes, etc. Therefore, being the nature of the reality, Riya Atma, Atma impelled by the word Asparshaha. Asparsha Yoga means what now? The knowledge of that non-dual reality, which alone obtains as the truth of everything, even Durdarshaha. It is very difficult. Durdarshaha means it involves certain difficulty. No way. Because in understanding, accepting, seeing the reality being non-dual. Okay, reality is non-dual. Are there two realities? No. What is there is only the reality. Anything other than what is there, other reality is what? Mithya. And which is inseparable, non-separate from the reality, which is only manifestation of the reality. Reality is there is manifestation of the power of reality. And the power of reality manifest is also non-separate from the reality. Unmanifest is also non-separate from the reality. power of reality, manifest also is non separate from the reality, unmanifest also is non separate from the reality. Because power is reality. So because we see it, it's mithya. It is not really there, it's as though. What is only reality, which alone is satyam. But what is there is only reality. So they are not two, nor are they one. We use the term power of the reality. And we say reality. Is it? So they're not two. Because they do not have, they're not two, nor are they one. So this way we call it non-dual. We can say only reality or non-dual reality. Isn't it? So this is the thing. And therefore, everything is this reality is there. So here Asparshyoga, which means one has to see even this I, the most frightening for a person is all that is there is only secondless non-dual reality. No, this is vision become very clear. One has to see one's own, even the I being not there. I has to be cognitively resolved. Resolving the I sense cognitively, you know, is also very frightening. No, it is like losing one's individuality is very frightening. Very, very frightening. Durdarshaha. Isn't very difficult? Not that easy. Therefore, Asparshyoga nama eshaha durdarshaha. Sarva yogi vihi. So it is not easily accomplishable. Vision of non-duality of the reality is not easily accomplishable for all those people who are given to the pursuit of knowledge. So yoginaha asmat abaye bibhyati. Bhayadarshinaha asmad bibhyati, abaye bibhyati. You know, in this people, bhayadarshinaha yoginaha, the people who are always frightened of, who do not have the guts to resolve the individuality. You know, because losing one's individuality is very frightening, I believe. Such people, abhayadarshinaha, abhaye bibhyati. In fact, the vision of non-duality of the reality is the only source of fearlessness. Only means of fearlessness. Non-dual reality is the only source of fearlessness. And resolving one's individuality in the reality is what? Is the only means of discovering fearlessness. Nothing else. Other than the vision of non-duality of the reality, there will be fear. You resolve all the differences. Therefore he says, abhayam, what is abhayam? The source of fearlessness is the reality. And the means of discovering the fearlessness is what? Vision of the non-duality of the reality. In this abhaye, which is a source of fearlessness, you know, asmat bhayadarshinaha yoginaha vibhyati. Okay? The people who are frightened of resolving the individuality or are seeing with fear this non-dual reality, which is only source of fearlessness. They see the one non-dual reality, the only source of fearlessness, as what now? As something frightening, isn't it? Because they're not able to resolve this. Yet he says, that is why it's very important to have certain, and people must be very, very, this Shastram also has to be taught very carefully, slowly, systematically. how much time Shastra takes. People come, one person comes and talks like this. I see everything in me. It's a fact, okay? I see everything in me. The person who sees doesn't need to say that. And if people come to yoga, and I can help them through this, I can help them enhance the strength capacity of their sense organs, and through it they can see the whole in within themselves. And he talks like that. People are so, what a great, he is a wise person he is. The whole world is after that person. Where he talks. People don't understand what he talks. You know, very frightening. So here Shastra says what? In fact, there is no fearlessness other than you assimilate the vision of non-divided reality. No, and in assimilating which you will lose your individuality cognitively, which is frightening. Therefore, one has to repeat to listen to the Shastram, understand slowly and assimilate it. Got the point what I'm saying? Okay. Bhagavat Pujya Padascha.
Bhagavat Pujya Padascha.
Sushka Tarka Patu Namun.
Sushka Tarka Patu Namun.
Ahur Madhyamikan Bhantan.
Ahur
Madhyamikan Bhantan. Achintye Smin Sadatmani.
Achintye
Smin Sadatmani. See, Achintye Asmin Sat Atmani Brantan. People who are deluded. Brantan means deluded people. And who are the deluded people? Madhyamikan. Madhyamikaha here means the Buddhist of one sect of Buddhism, isn't it? Madhyamika Bauddhaha. So those Madhyamika Bauddhaha, know there are four branches of Buddhism. One of the four branches of Buddhism are called Madhyamikaha. So all these Madhyamikaha, Shankaracharya, Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada calls them as Brantaha. Now, Brantaha is a participle, which means confused, deluded people. That is why they say in noun, it's called Brantihi. Brantihi means confusion. Okay? So, Brandi Brantim Janayati. Swamiji used to say that. So, Brantihi. That is why they must have come somewhere. Those days, now people know only that word. Yeah. Whiskey bandmen, people are very scared. India is a great crime, okay? Amid some traditional people, they won't like it. Nowadays, I'll become very common. Okay, Brantan. Brantan, Madhyamikan, Brantan, Ahuhu. Shankaracharya calls these Madhyamikas deluded, confused people. Why? Because Sushka Tarka Patun, he calls them, these are the people given to the dry logic. Without dry logic means what? These Buddhists hold on only to logics, Tarka Shastra. Only Tarka. To establish all their views they're holding on, they use only Tarka, only logics. What is the basis? They don't accept Veda. Isn't it? See, Veda, because they're all Nastikaha, they do not accept Veda as a Pramana Grantha. That is the problem. And when they don't accept Veda as a Pramana Grantha, and which other Pramanam is there? They can try some other Pramanam. There's no other pramanam available. isn't it? Somebody was asking nothing to you. When did they ask? Somebody was asking me 2 days ago or somewhere. I think in Melbourne, they're asking me, oh, why should we accept that Veda is the only Pramanam? I said, no, we don't need to say Veda is the only Pramanam. You can say there are many other Pramanams are there. You can take it that way. Take it that way. We should not say Veda is the only Pramanam. We don't need to say that. We say Veda definitely serves as a means of knowledge of the truth, doubtlessly. If you make use of it, you can enjoy the benefit of using Veda as a Pramanam. You can enjoy the benefit of it. But we don't say Veda is only Pramanam. We don't need to say that. If there may be other Pramanams available in the world other than Veda, but why don't you try? Try. It's available, go and try it. And they'll come back. If we say no, they'll be upset. There may be, we should say what? Swami said, there may be other Pramanams available. Go and try, find out. First of all, find out which is the other Pramanam. Then you try to use it. And you should also know how to use it. There are 3 things are there, okay? You have, if other than Veda, there is a Pramanam I have found out. Somebody has to come and tell us. You have found out other Pramanam available other than Veda, that's fine. Then you should know which is that you have found out. What is that piece which serves as a Pramanam? And if it is available there, and they should know how to make use of the Pramanam. How to use the Pramanam to arrive at it. You should know 3 things. It is not enough to simply buy a car. You should know how driving. Isn't it? You should know where it's available. A lot of things. Similarly here, a simple thing. So Swami says that. What should we say? Where is the only Pramanam they'll get? Veda is a Pramanam. If other Pramanams are available, better go and make use of them. Use of it. Okay, why should we waste time in searching for the Pramanam? Something is available already. The teaching tradition is available. I said that, make use of it. Therefore, but if people do not use it, what they do? Only logic. Because they only think, you know, they use their own reasoning. Use your own human intellect. Human is highly intelligent, I tell you. But human intellect is fantastic, without which no Pramanam will be useful. like the person who is born blind, for him telescope is of no use, microscope is of no use. But the person who has a clear vision, who has very good eyesight, and he can use microscope. He can have microscope or telescope as an added support to his seeing power to discover what is something different, something subtle. So eyes without the microscope is incomplete, is inadequate for seeing the minutest things. But eyes themselves, without the eyes, microscope is of no use. Similarly, without the human intellect, no Pramanam will be of any use. But human intellect, without the external Pramanam, will be inadequate, especially discovering the truth. Is it clear? So human intellect must be there. It must be supported by another external Pramanam in terms of Veda. But the people who do not accept the Veda as a Pramanam, and those who are dependent only on their own intellect, you know, and intellect has its own limitation. Already, there is a ignorant intellect, ignorant mind. And ignorant mind, if you are relying upon the ignorant mind will lead you where, what? Will keep you ever okay, ignorant. Which means you are led by ignorant persons, blind person. Without the Veda. So, what he says, and people who are given only to the mere logic without accepting Veda as a pramanam, they are called Sushka Tarka Patun. Tarka Patavaha means those who are highly relying only on logic are called the people who are given to this mere dry, you know, reasoning. Sushka means dry. Dry means what? Purely logic. They don't accept anything else. Which means logic is very useful, but it has its own limitation. So, Sushka Tarka Patun Amun Madhyamikan Brantan Ahuhu. And he calls these Madhyamika Bauddhas, who are merely given to the reasoning, logics, and they do not accept Veda as a pramanam. He called them as what? Sushka Tarka Patavaha, and then the dry logician, and they are confused people. He calls them. Who? Bhagavat Pujya Padaha Cha. Which means, we may ask the question, does Shankar Bhagavat Pada use logic or not? Reasoning or not? No, he does not. He uses the logic. Okay? He uses the logic to support the Veda. He is not relying purely on reasoning. No, he uses logic to establish, to support the Veda. Support means what? To prove that, see, what is said in the Veda does not contradict the reasoning. To establish the non-contradictory, no, the Veda, the what is established in the Veda be non-contradictory, he uses the logic. Using the logic to support the Veda is different from using, yeah. Some people who use Veda to support the logic. Another group of people, okay? And there are people who use only logic. And of those people who use only logic, and they, for them, accepting the Veda means they don't want. They hate Veda. They don't want to use Veda as Pramana. So, Tarka. Is it? This is Sushka Tarka Patavaha. See, people have different agenda, okay? The problem is elsewhere. they didn't want Karmakanda. They hate Karmakanda. And then they, for which they wanted to, and they didn't want to accept only Vedanta also. Got it? That's the very reason. So they want just to blindly deny the Veda. They do not accept Veda. They say only reasoning. This is the state of Buddha, okay? Great Buddha. Buddha might have had the vision of non-duality of reality, but, you know, because still, only samadhi he can talk about in Buddhism. Imagine all the so-called people who are given to this vipassana, meditation, and all the following people, Buddha. People get confused. People don't know anything. So everybody accepts everybody. One person talks Shunyavada and accepts, he sounds like he teaches Vipassana, and he has built a temple where he spoke to all Murtis. Which means it's a business for them. People don't know, no? People can't even think what they say. That is why only if you study Vedanta Shastram, you are made to think correctly. And you can see, as you see, how really, when I was seeing any Bhashya music, if we can think like this, Shankar Bhagavat Pada will help you, he will create doubts in you. And he will answer, give you the answer for all the doubts. How to think also, we should learn from the Shastra study one. Therefore, so Bhagavat Pujya Padaha Madhyamikan Brant Sushka Tarka Patun Amun Madhyamikan Brantan Ahuhu. Where are they confused about? Achintye asmin sadatmani. Isn't it? The sadatma, atma is what? The absolute reality, which implied by the term atma, in terms of its nature of all pervasiveness, is all the time there as the very sat, very existence, very truth. And this truth is not conceivable, not at all available for, you can never arrive at the reality using your crushing your intellect, using your reasoning. The reasoning can help you discover subtler and subtler and subtler and subtler facts within the realm of the mithya jada prapancha, inert material world. Within the realm of matter, you can discover so many things using your intellect. Nobody can deny. But it's all what? Any discovery of any subtle fact within the realm of matter is what? Within the, it's only ignorance. Is it clear what I'm saying? See, discovery, any discovery of any subtle fact pertaining to the material world is only ignorance. It is not knowledge, isn't it? Therefore, here, and to discover that, you can use your intellect. You can use your reasoning. Whereas, when you, what is to be discovered happens to be the very truth of the intellect which is involved in reasoning. The object of intellect can be arrived at through reasoning. But the very source of reasoning, very source of intellect cannot be arrived at through reasoning. He doesn't say reasoning is useless. Reasoning is very useful, but reasoning has no limitation. Because here, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth of everything here, obtaining as a source of reasoning, can never be arrived at through reasoning. Got it? Therefore, he says, that's why, achintyam, achintye sadatmani. And that reality, obtaining a source of reasoning, not available for any reasoning, not attainable through reasoning, is what is there as the pure existence of everything. Sadatmani, achintye atmani. Therefore, these people are to be confused. These people are highly confused. No, brantaha. Madhyamikaha or brantaha. They're confused. Why? Because they're given purely to they're holding on to the mere reasoning logic. You know, accept Veda as the pramanam. No. Anadrut. Yashrutim maurkhyat. Anadritya shrutim maurkhyat. Ime bauddhastamasvinaha.
Ime bauddhastamasvinaha.
Ape dire niratmatvam.
Ape dire niratmatvam.
Anumanaika chakshushaha.
Anumanaika chakshushaha.
Now, using only the reasoning, not accepting the Veda, what do they do? Shrutim anadritya. Shrutim anadritya means completely ignoring the Veda, the means of knowledge. Completely not accepting the Veda. Completely ignoring, rejecting the Veda. And Rushutim Anadritya. Why do they reject the Veda? Use only the reasoning. Why do they reject? Maurkhyat, due to their foolishness. And Maurkhyam is noun of Murkha. Murkaha is fool. Okay. Maurkya means what? Foolishness. Maurkyate, because height of foolishness, what do they do? They reject the Veda. They ignore the Veda. Maurkyate, he gives a reason. Why do people reject Veda? Only a foolish person will reject the Veda. If somebody comes and tells you, even that suppose the doctor tells you, advises you, okay, please have this medicine, it will work because you are suffering because of this problem. Even if you don't have trust in it, if I don't trust the doctor, I don't have any trust in the medicine also. But still, at least you can try now. This fellow is saying, let me try this. Sometimes now people do it without trust also, you can make, at least try. Which means you are not that fool, okay? You don't have Shraddha, then it will work. Without Shraddha, if you do it, it won't work. That's a different thing. At least you can try. You know? If because it is, it happens to be the means, it may work. So, isn't it? So when people are saying Veda serves as a means of knowledge of the truth, it's a fact already, it has been established, and these people adamantly, they don't want to accept Veda as the Pramanam. What does it mean? No, this doctor is telling, why should I listen? I won't take this medication. It will not cure my disease. If I close my mind, I always have to leave the doubt. You can be skeptical, but you can't totally reject it. At least doubting. But if faithlessly you can take and try this, then you see whether it works or not. Then you can say. But they don't use it. They already closed their minds. No, it is of no. Shuttim anadritya. Therefore, it is called foolishness. Okay? If they have some intelligence, they would have used it. Let me try. I don't believe. Let me try. No. Because of mere the foolishness. Because of foolishness, what they do? They reject the Veda. Shruti Manadriti. Adi Shankar Bhagavatpada hates. He cannot stand. He's very angry. Veda, if somebody says, sometimes he writes the commentary. If somebody does not follow Sampradaya, also he is called Asampradaya. No, I don't follow any teacher. I have no guru. I don't have teacher. I don't study scriptures. I have vision. I teach myself. Somebody comes and tells you, okay, then you can, even if what he says makes sense, sensible person, bow to him, respect him as a person, only for inspiration. But then you don't study with him, he says. Asampradaya with murkhavatu upekshaniyaha. One who does not follow tradition is called asampradaya with. That person should be kept away as a foolish person. Murkhavat. You don't look at him as a murkha. Like how you keep away yourself from the foolish people. The asampradaya with the person who does not follow tradition also, even if he's not a foolish person, even if he's highly intelligent and brilliant person, he also must be kept away like how the foolish person is kept away. The so-called brilliant, intelligent person doesn't accept sampradaya, should be considered, kept away, like how the foolish person is kept away. Oh, he's intelligent, he's not foolish. No, he's intelligent, he's not foolish. But he must be considered like a foolish person. Kept away. He should not be followed. Because following an asampradaya with will not take any distance from where you are. Because sampradaya is a must. The tradition, teaching tradition is a must. Methodology is a must. Shastram is a must. For you to have sampradaya, tradition, methodology, you should follow the tradition. For you to follow the tradition, you must study the shastram. Is it clear? Therefore, asampradaya with murkavatu pekshaniha. One does not follow Veda Shastram, keep away from that fellow. No, he is doesn't matter however intelligent and brilliant that person is. Eloquent and fluent and brilliant and intelligent. My God, he's so clever, so communicative, so nice. Does he have sampradaya? No. He will be of no use for your moksha. Even if he is a jnani. You know, amazing. He was so vehemently, he says that. So here also he mentioned the same thing. Shrutim maurkhyat shrutim anadritya. Even at a doubtfully they can try. Completely rejecting the Veda means what? It is sheer foolishness. Ime Bauddhaha. All these Bauddhas who reject the Veda are rejecting only because of foolishness. And Tamasvinaha. Tamasvinaha means what now? People of highly Tamas people. Between they do not. Why Tamas? How much of a reasoning you are using? The people who are using only the reason they want achievements, all their efforts must be only within the realm of the material world only. The tamasvinaha. Any sort of pleasure they enjoy will be only what? It is nothing to do with the reality, nothing to do with the nature of the reality. Therefore, there is neither fullness nor the reality, the knowledge, anything within the realm of the matter only, tamasvinaha. Apedire niratmatvam. Finally, what happened with this Bauddhas? You know, being given to the understanding of thing, experience, which is pertaining to the inert world, they say, apedire niratmatvam. Finally, they have ended up saying nothing is there, say nothingness. Niratmatvam means they, according to them, there's no atma, there's no reality. Niratmatvam means what? Absence of reality, non-existence of reality. Niratmatvam implies what? There is no Atma. There is no truth. Then what is there? Nothing is there. Niratmatvam. Finally, they use only logic, not accepting the Veda, resulted in the conclusion, the wrong conclusion of the selflessness. There is no such thing called self. There's no truth, nothing is there. And then these people, Anumana Yeka Chakshushaha. They use only inference to establish. Why do they say nothing is there? They use only inference, which means for them, they only take what is available for perception is real. Reality is imperceptible. Why? Because reality is very truth of the very perception. Isn't it? Reality is truth of perception. A perceiver subject of perception can never become the object of perception. Therefore, not available for perception. Therefore, not available for inference also. And these people are holding on. What is inference? I do not see through my physical eyes. That is, therefore, I infer. That my conclusion is what? My conclusion is based on my perception. I do not believe. It is not there. I do not see the reality. Therefore, it is not there. Anumana eka chakshushaha. Therefore, what now? For they are holding only on to this inference. Finally, ended up saying, Niratmattum apedire. They say there's no Atma, there's no truth, there's no God. Nothing is there. So, Shankara Bhagavad Gita says, if a person is given to the study of the Veda Shastram as a pramanam, then definitely he cannot deny the existence of the self. He cannot deny the existence of the reality. Following the way, accepting Veda as a pramanam, one cannot deny the existence of the reality. Existence of Bhagavan. Existence of the reality is denying the existence of the reality is actually denying the existence of one's own self. One's own self is reality. This is very, very clear in Taittiriya Upanishad. One who says there's no reality says that there's existence of one's own self. It's like saying, I'm not there. Therefore, what he wants to say here is, this niratmatvam, this negation of the existence of the very reality in terms of the self itself, is because they're seeing everything only through the eye of inference. Because they do only reasoning. They do not accept the Veda. It's impossible for them to arrive at the all-pervasive reality, the source of reality, the source of perception, to arrive at the, isn't it? Through perception, using the reasoning. Therefore, he says, these people who are highly given to this tamasic in nature and bauddhaha, ignorant people. He means highly ignorant, and these people only because sheer foolishness, they reject Veda. As a result of rejecting the Veda, they cannot arrive at the truth. Isn't it? Reasoning, how far can your reasoning take you? And there'll be a reasoning will take you to some extent. And what there'll be a point you will say nothing exists. This is the result. This is the result of not accepting the Veda as a pramana, he says. Shunyamasiditibhruṣe
Sadyogam
vasadatmatam Shunyasya natu tadyuktam Ubhayam vyaha tattvataha. Okay. Now, he's going to explain what is Shunyatvam, Shunyavada, and how, why they say, what reason for them to say Shunya, etc. He's going to talk hereafter. We'll see next class. At least we finished these verses. See, Vidyaranya Swami, beautifully he concludes the 31st verse. What he wants to say is, if we do not accept Veda as a pramanam, and if you use only your reasoning, you cannot help becoming a Shunyavadi. You will deny the existence of the reality in terms of your own self. It's like saying, I'm not here. If you say, I'm not here, I'm not there. I'm not here, I'm not there. I do not exist. So what does it mean? It's like it's a mad expression, is it? It's high expression of height of madness. It is as, you know, it is as really ridiculous as saying what? I'm not here. We say there's no reality. So because they're not able to arrive at the reality, using the reasoning logic, and they finally end up there and say what? No, reality does not exist at all. There's no such in terms of self. And this, the conclusion of saying that there's no Atma itself because of what? Because of their rejecting the Veda as a Pramanam. And therefore, what now? Because of foolishness, they reject it. They don't even want to give it a try. Doubtlessly, doubtfully, without faithlessly, at least you can try to use it. That's what he wants to say. So rest of the classes, at least we start somewhere we left and we have come to the class today. So we'll continue next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.